the theme going, we say a very good evening to Senor Matt, Senor Presidente. Trudy, how do you do, ma'am?
I am fine. What are you doing? How are you doing, Ken?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm recovering from all them blows I got on holiday when I was on, you know, playing dominoes all the time. I played lots and lots of dominoes and got beaten really, really badly. And the likes of Gregson Seely was able to beat me up too.
Wow.
Yes. Okay, this evening, go for it for the health of it.
So for the last 4 weeks, we have been focusing on nutrition. We actually have an interactive tool up on our digital platforms that you can utilize to help you understand nutrition labels. However,
Go ahead. We're hearing you. I'm losing you there, Trudy. Okay.
One of the things that I thought it important for us to discuss on air. Pardon me?
Go ahead. I was losing you.
You're
just
losing
now.
Me? Why?
I was. I don't know why. This Zoom is a different technology, but you keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Right. So I was saying that one of the things that we needed to focus on, particularly because of what is going on now, is dealing with access to medications, particularly within the context of the hurricane season.
Mm-hmm.
So as persons mm-hmm. are well aware, the hurricane season started on the 1st of June and it ends formally on the 30th of November. However, what I really want to get across to our listeners is that you need to be prepared every single day of the year. Particularly now with COVID-19 still on our shores, I know persons would have commented in the past that they were prevented, or perhaps there were recommendations for them not to leave home.
Yeah.
And therefore persons may have been without medications for some time. And that is not in a good position to be in. So therefore I said to myself, it would be very interesting to share with our listeners, not just the members of the association, but with listeners all across Barbados and further afield, to share how you can access medications in Barbados if you are a citizen or a resident of the island. So this evening we have with us the director of the Barbados Drug Service, Mrs. Marian Hines, to join us so that we can truly explore this topic from at the very highest levels. So good evening, Mrs. Hines.
Good evening, Trudy.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful. Yeah, I am absolutely wonderful. Right. So I know that one of the things that the drug service would have wished to have recognized in a very big way this year would have been its anniversary. So do you want to share some history of the drug service before we truly get into our topic?
Okay, thank you, Trudy. Yes, the Barbados Drug Service would have been celebrating 40 years in April this year. And we were planning before to do something, but of course, COVID-19 changed everything. But nonetheless, we're still there trying our best. I think April 2020 did find the drug service in a very, very, very busy state, trying to fulfill the mandate as instructed by the Prime Minister, that we should front load and make sure there are drugs in the island. So in the event of anything, that, you know, we were well covered. So we were extremely busy. But yes, the Barbados Drug Service has been there 40 years now. It was supposed to have come under the National Health Service. The National Health Service did not happen, but the Drug Service did come into being. And now we are a department of the Ministry of Health and Wellness. The department was created in April of 1980, and the section that deals with the private sector, which is the Special Benefit Service, was started in 1981. And I think the Barbados Drug Service is a department of the Ministry of Health that every Barbadian should be very proud of, something that has really helped in maintaining the health of the people in Barbados.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Mrs. Hines. Ken, you wanted to say something?
Not at the moment. I'm listening first. Go ahead there.
Okay. So I think that persons ought to really be aware that the drug service has done some remarkable things for Barbadians, but we have also seen where the drug service has even reached further afield and lent some assistance to our neighbors across the Caribbean in setting up a similar system to what we have in Barbados.
Yes, we would have done so. There was an Eastern Caribbean drug service. They started off in 1986. But unfortunately, they could not keep up with what we were doing. So it has been just reduced to just a procurement, pharmaceutical procurement agency, where they have a pool procurement for about 9 or 10 Eastern Caribbean countries, which we are now also looking at to see if we will have any benefit in terms of, you know, combining with them, not just them, with other countries in the region as well, in terms of food procurement, to give us that economy of scale. Because even though Barbados, we started it, where we have a food procurement at a national level, where both our public and our private sector, we pool our resources together and procure drugs on a national basis, where there's no government price or private price when it comes to pharmaceuticals, where every drug that is sold to the Barbados Drug Service or to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, or to any private pharmacy, is at the same price because of our national pool procurement.
So thank you so much for your comments, Mrs. Hines. At this time, I want to encourage our listeners, if you have any questions or any comments, you can certainly call into the studio. That number is 434-1790, or you can even reach out to us on WhatsApp. And that number is 266-4862. You can send your comments there, and your comments will be read by Ken so that they can benefit everyone who's participating in the show.
That's right.
So, Mrs. Hines, you said something very important just now in
I'm sorry, Trudy, I'm not hearing you.
She's coming back in. What's up? I think we are dropping in and out. Her line is dropping in and out, Ms. Hines. So, Trudy, you're dropping in and out there.
In terms of the price being the same regardless of where the medication is being sold to. So whether it's the polyclinic or the hospital or a private pharmacy,
oh, there we're having some difficulties here.
I'm sorry. Ms. Hines,
can you hear me from the studio?
I can hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well too. So maybe Trudy will come back in. Oh, she's coming back in, I'm very sure. Let me see if I can admit her again. Okay.
Right, so here I am again. Can you hear me, Ken?
Yeah, I'm concerned that you haven't paid your phone bill.
Maybe I should ask you to pay my phone bill, Ken.
Ms. Hayes, let's get a hat and do a collection for poor Trudy. Go ahead there.
So what I was asking, Mrs. Hines, in terms of how can persons access medications in the public sector? And then I'll follow up in terms of how they can access medications in the private sector.
Okay. In the public sector, of course, that of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, that one is well known. You attend any of the clinics there, or you get a prescription there. You fill your prescription at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. You also have the privilege to fill it in any of the Barbados Drug Service pharmacies, but not in the private sector. If you take a Queen Elizabeth Hospital prescription to the private sector, you'll have to pay for it. prior to 2011, we had a program where it didn't matter whether you went to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital or drug service, you would be able to fill your prescription anywhere. But in the public sector, you can go to any of the 9 polyclinics. There are 3 outpatient clinics, which since COVID, or just before COVID, some of them are not functioning quite as they should right now, mainly due to the physical plant, but also due to the challenges that presented itself with COVID-19. You could bring your prescription once it is for any of the categories that we cover: hypertension, diabetes, cancer, glaucoma, epilepsy, or asthma. It doesn't matter where the prescription was obtained. It could be from the physician's private physician. It could be on a pink prescription. It could be on a blue prescription. It could be the QHS yellow or green prescription. All of those you could be able to fill in any of the Barbados Drug Service pharmacies. And right now you do not pay any, you do not make any contribution at the point of service when you come to collect. Because even though we would have loved to put something just to curb wastage, we do recognize that we do have to provide a safety net. So therefore, when you do come to the public pharmacies, you are able to get your medication at no cost at point of service. And I would also want to stress, just to say that sometimes persons come with a prescription for a medication for diabetes that is probably not on the formulary and they're expecting to get it free of cost. I want to stress that the drugs that we provide are those that are in the formulary. So if there's a new medication that just comes out, and yes, it is for diabetes, once it is not on the formulary, it will not be covered under our program.
So that's a very important point to make, because there are some persons who might have maybe leap and said, well, if you say that I can get my diabetes medications free, then I should be able to get them without pain. But I'm glad that you have made that very important point, in that if the medication is on formulary and you have your prescription filled in the polyclinic system, you will get that medication free at the point of delivery. But if your medication is not on formulary, you will not be able to access that medication in the polyclinic system. You will have to take it to a private pharmacy to have that prescription filled.
That's correct.
So thank you for making that distinction.
And if I could
just add, what is different between accessing medication? Yeah, sure.
I was just going to say, because you at the beginning mentioned accessing medications, you know, during this time with the hurricane and so on, to say that we do have provision where we give a grace period, where patients can fill their prescription within a 7-day period prior to the date that the prescription is due. But with the hurricane season, we encourage persons to make sure their prescriptions are filled, that they have medication at all times. And not only that, we do not want you to wait until, you know, there's a system approaching us, because then, you know, everybody will be rushing. So we always advise that as soon as you can, while it is still safe, we are there ready to allow you to fill your prescription earlier than you normally would be allowed, just to make sure that you're covered during this season. And also to emphasize the fact that you don't wait until the last minute when there's a system fast approaching, because then everybody is coming and then there's a mad rush and then you have to wait for long periods of time. There's a lot of stress on the staff as well. So we have that wide opening from the beginning of the hurricane season for you to be able to do that.
Okay. So thank you for making that point. In terms of accessing medications in a polyclinic, how is that different to accessing medications from a private pharmacy?
Okay, from the 1st of April 2011, we did some type of restructuring where when you do go to the private pharmacy, you would be required to pay a dispensing fee. The cost of the medication will be covered by the drug service. So in other words, the cost will be the same whether you go to the public or private sector, but for the privilege of using the private sector for your convenience, you would have to pay a dispensing fee to the private pharmacy when you do go to the private pharmacy. Prior to 2011, you did not have to pay anywhere. We would have covered both the dispensing fee and the cost of the medication. But of course, as things were getting out of control and our budget was bursting at the seams, we had to restructure and request that persons, you know, pay a dispensing fee in the private sector. It should be pointed out that our interest would have really been that you pay also in the public sector, because my own understanding and seeing human behavior is when you have to pay a little something for it, you value it more and you're more willing to adhere to your medication. But as I mentioned earlier, to provide that safety net for persons who would be unable to pay, there's no contribution at all in the public sector, whereas you have to contribute in the private sector. But the wastage is in both sectors. The wastage, we see it in the public and in the private sector, where persons just collect medication and they have almost like a pharmacy at home. And they are always on time to fill their prescription or their repeat, but they're not taking it. And then sometimes the physician sees their condition, whether it's diabetes or hypertension, worsening, and they increase the dose. So more medications to be wasted. So this is something that, if it is possible, any person who is listening to this conversation we're having, that please, 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 not to waste medication. And if you know you have it, it doesn't make sense to come and get additional medication just to keep in your cupboard, you know, just for it to waste. So we have to try to stamp the wastage that exists.
Ken, you wanted to add something?
I just want to ask Madam Director a little question. Ma'am? Madam Director?
Yes,
a lot of times I have heard patients complain that the medication they have here in Barbados for several complaints or several ailments are said to be outdated when these people are able to go or having to go to the USA, Canada, or let us say England for treatment. I have people, friends of mine, who came down with some illnesses. And they went overseas and came back and said, "Can the doctor tell me that this medication I use?" And be in the front of my face or to the front of my face, literally throw it in the stuff can. How do you respond to that? That's a real serious accusation. And I'm raising it here very carefully, but I'm raising it as a Barbadian.
I must admit, just as I said at the beginning, that sometimes we are not able to put every drug that comes out. We do so not just for the cost. We have a drug formulary committee that meets diligently every month. We had one meeting today, this evening, from 3 to 4:30. And I want to say that they are very careful in selecting drugs that go into the formulary. They use evidence-based science. And when they make their recommendations, they make their recommendations irrespective of cost. And I'm saying this to say that whatever we feel is the best treatment, we would normally try to select it. And where there would be challenge in terms of cost, that maybe we may not be able to afford it, some provisions are being made under a program. Right now, we call it Category B. It used to be specially authorized drug, where a physician can make a recommendation for a particular drug if in that physician's judgment that is the best drug to treat the patient and the drug is not available in the formulary. And with that kind of request, we would normally try to provide those drugs that, you know, may not be easily or readily accessible. And believe me, if it wasn't for the wastage, we would have been able to put a lot more drugs on the formulary. And as a matter of fact, when we did the restructuring of the formulary, the intention was to streamline the formulary so that we can be able to provide more of those drugs that are more expensive, that are newer formulations, that are safer and better, but of course more expensive. But then, of course, so many other things came into being with the, from 2008 with the downturn of events globally, you know, through no fault of ours, you know, so things started to go down. So, of course, we're not able to do what we wanted to do. And we're just coming out of it now, and we are now trying to include better drugs that, you know, are safer and better. So we may not be able to reach where those other people are reaching. If you recognize, for example, if you could never compare the United States of America and Barbados because they live on insurance. You have to have insurance, otherwise you'll have to get some other type of help through the social services and so on. Whereas in Barbados, we do not work on insurance. I mean, people do have private insurance, yes, but the provision that we make is for every citizen of Barbados, regardless of whether you're rich or you're poor. You're a Barbadian citizen, and you are entitled to it. You're a permanent resident, you're entitled to it. We had CARICOM countries. Before, we had everybody living in Barbados. Once you're going to be in Barbados, legitimately for at least 6 months, you were entitled to our program. But we, when we started restructuring, we restricted it to permanent residents and citizens. But we've now expanded it to include CARICOM nationals as well. So right now, CARICOM nationals also benefit just as much as a Barbadian citizen would.
Okay, so we can help you by asking our listeners and other people not to hoard medication and not to, and not wishes to have unnecessary amounts or totals of medication. Don't put up 3 and 4 months because you were able to get it. When you waste medication, you increase the cost to everybody, including yourself. This is the point you're making, right?
Yes, please. And I really thank you for that, for what you just put in there. I think this is where John Public can really help.
Right.
And then if that can be done, then we would be able to afford those better drugs that come on the market every now and again, once we are assured of its safety and once there's sufficient evidence
to show
that it's the best medication.
So I will do my best for you and the other announcers, I'm sure, and everybody else, and tell Warren or Barbadians not to take additional amount. I mean, I suppose 1 month in surplus may not hurt, but when people are having 3 and 4 months, they're lying down. It's a criminal waste, in my opinion. So we will
speak. And sometimes 2 years.
Do what? Two years?
People with 2 years of medication, and I'm not taking it.
And they're coming for more. Oh, dear. That's a lot. No, that's where the formulary is concerned. That's where the government is concerned. But medication, I find that they're not on the formulary. Across, and I did say across Barbados, seem to poor people like me to be very, to be generally expensive. Is this because Barbados is generally expensive? Because I want to cry now that Barbados is really expensive. Your supermarket prices, well, you don't have to shop in the supermarket. You know, you're lucky. You wouldn't have to go to the supermarket and buy your expensive items. Trudy does not either. Okay, Trudy is very fortunate. Her parents shop for her, but poor me, I have to face the supermarket. I went to the supermarket this afternoon, and a little handful. No, you don't even know the term handful, but handful of items, $200 and something for a little handful of items, and I didn't have the $200. I had the something dollars. You know, so I was in real trouble, Trudy.
Ken, I'm going to challenge you here, but I'm going to say that maybe your two handfuls was a bottle of wine in each hand.
Watch your cut now, Trudy.
Anyway, so business science.
And a bottle of Grey Goose.
I'm not going to let Ken derail us this evening. Not at all. In terms of persons when they take medications, because I know that everybody does not respond to medications the same way. So persons may start taking medication. What would you advise someone to do in that position?
Well, we do have a department within the drug service that is called the pharmacovigilance section. And in that department, we monitor the safety of drugs. We not only monitor the safety, we want, even when you know that the particular drug gives a certain adverse reaction or side effect, we want you to report it to us, because we want to be able to say this confirms with the evidence and the science that there is, that, you know, only 10% would have this adverse reaction. Or if in fact it is more, we would be able to see. And sometimes we may be even able to see something that is peculiar to us. We call it signal, where you would see, for example, persons taking the lipid-lowering drugs like the statins, where they are having muscle pains. We want to establish some science to see if it happens more in we as a people, or if it happens more in Caucasians, or, you know, different races, and, you know, things like that. And we also monitor the quality of the product. So, for example, you're accustomed to this medication being this particular color, and now it is changing color, or it has some spots or whatever. You report it to us. We would want to know so that we can monitor if it's affecting the stability of the drug, and if it will affect you, and so on and so forth. There are certain things, for example, aspirin. Aspirin is a drug that is hygroscopic, which means when exposed, it will absorb water. So it's going to swell and so on. So there are certain drugs that, yes, you will expect that. But there are some that, no, that should not happen. And when you bring it to our attention, we would be able to monitor. And if there's any reason for us to take that drug off the market, then we would have a conversation with the suppliers of that medication to say to them, well, this is what we're observing. Could you recall this product from our market and provide us with something different, or we go for a different one if those people are not able to provide? So yes, and people have different reactions to drugs. I have two sons. With one son, when I give them half a tablet of Sudafed, they're knocked out. With the other one, I can give him two tablets, and he's younger, and he will be jumping up and down. So I'm saying this to say, even when you're from the same womb, same father, same mother, you probably will react differently to drugs. So don't think that what is prescribed for one person, it's also good for you. No, it doesn't work that way. So you have to know that it is prescribed for you, and then you also would note how you react to it, or how the drug is treating you, or whatever, how you feel, if it is giving you any benefit, if it is having adverse reactions on you, if it is, you know, whatever feeling you have, to report it to us. I'm very happy you asked that question.
Yes. I think that the reason why that came to mind is because of COVID-19. When it first, we started hearing about it, and obviously we recognized that there were particular patient populations, like persons with diabetes, hypertension, and other non-communicable diseases who were having more adverse outcomes. You started to hear about certain medications that persons ought not to be using, etc. So is that a similar situation to what you're describing?
Well, yes, because okay. With COVID-19, you did hear a lot, or don't take this drug, or if you're hypertensive and you're taking angiotensin receptor blockers, or it will increase your chances of it. Oh no, it will actually give you benefit. So with COVID, we're seeing more and more signs that sometimes today they say one thing, tomorrow is a different thing, and it's contradictory, and it's giving us a lot of challenge in terms of being able to establish what is the true sense of it. But then it all boils down to the fact that people react differently to different circumstances, different medications. So, but yes, that is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Okay. So really and truly, the key message we want to get home to persons is, yes, you can use medications safely, but there is some level of risk, and everybody will not respond to medications the same way. So if you find yourself reacting to a medication in a way that is abnormal to you or is disturbing to you in any way, shape, or form, you need to contact your healthcare professional as soon as possible so that we can address it very quickly, lest you suffer any greater degree of harm. So, Mrs. Hines, I know in recent months we've had a couple of issues with drug recalls. Can you share with persons how they need to respond if they've heard? Because a lot of persons tend to go on Google or go on a lot of the news channels and they hear about these medications being recalled, and then they bombard the pharmacies across the island to find out if they can still take their medications. What would you advise persons to do should they hear that a particular drug has been recalled?
Well, I think as soon as patients hear that, it will be the first thing to do is not to stop taking your medication. Consult your physician and consult your pharmacist and let them advise you if to stop taking the medication. First, let me say, all medications, their benefit and their risk. By the time a medication is being prescribed for you, it is that your caregiver has, in his best judgment, decided that the benefit by far outweighs the risk of giving that medication to you. So there's always that balance of risk and benefit. But then there are times that either due to contaminations or different other issues, some drugs may be recalled. Sometimes it is not something that is easily visible or tested until maybe some effects start to happen, and then they check and they see. And the pharmaceutical industry, it's a very self-regulating industry. So whenever, sometimes we don't even know that there's any problem, the pharmaceutical industry itself will be the one that will let you know. And normally they would advise physicians, they will advise the drug service, and then we would then either they themselves will prepare something for John Public, or we would advise John Public of what is happening. And now with our computerization, it's even easier because we can actually know, and this is again another request, that we don't encourage people to be bringing in drugs into the country that we don't know. Because once we know our sources of drugs, we can go right to the wholesaler and know which pharmacies it was dispensed to. And from the pharmacies, we would know which patients were dispensed to. So sometimes even before we make public announcements, we're already working behind the scenes to trace those persons that we feel are at risk, to let them know. And then after that, we will then make a general statement. And there are some recent findings, for example, that we have been encountering that, you know, sometimes is of concern to us because patients are more or less like, you know, saying, oh, they've heard this, and then they just stop. And it could very well be that the drugs that are being recalled are not in our market, and it doesn't affect us. So it is very useful for persons to call, ask a question, make sure that the drug in question is not one that has been recalled. And if it is that it is being recalled, they'll be told exactly what to do. Go to the pharmacy they purchase it from to be refunded, or what, you know, what action they should take. But patients should never just make a decision on their own. They must do so in consultation with their physician.
Thank you. Very good point.
Okay. Yes. I wonder.
Can you have, yeah, you have something to say?
To ask. I have a question to ask, or something to, or comment to make at the end of that point. A lot of patients do not remember the drugs, that the medications that they're on, let's say medications, a lot. How can you help them? Because most of the medications, pharmaceuticals, are written, well, they're from Latin and Greek derivation. And when they get wrong to us here, these big long names that you don't remember because they're not part of our vocabulary. So when we take sick here down the road on Broad Street and somebody says, what medication? You honestly don't remember unless you have it written down on your person, on your cell phone or something. How could you help to that? What tips can you give to help you to remember your medication?
Trudy, I think that's your baby.
Oh, that's Trudy's. That's Trudy's thing.
Because we have
Trudy,
been...
Trudy, let me direct this question at you here. When you give us a big, she's giving us a big, beautiful smile, listeners.
Yes, because we're working at the Drug and Therapeutics Committee of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, mm-hmm. and Trudy is our lead person on that. So I would let Trudy speak more on that.
Right. So one of the things, particularly now within the context of the hurricane season, we want to encourage every single person across Barbados, as long as you have some medical condition, as long as you're on some type of medication, we're kindly asking you to write that down somewhere. As Mrs. Hines would have said, I do work at the hospital, and therefore there is a document that we have put together at the hospital where you can capture all of that information, have it written down, put it somewhere safe within the context of the hurricane season. Please put it in a waterproof container in the event that you have to evacuate and then all of your belongings are exposed to the elements. We want to make sure that we can refer to that document in the event that you have to seek emergency medical attention. One of the challenges, and this is it at any given point in time, is that, as Ken said, you may fall ill somewhere and you have to seek emergency medical attention, and then you're probably in a position where you can't speak for yourself, or you can't recall the information that the doctors or the healthcare professionals are asking you about your own medical conditions, et cetera. And therefore, it would really and truly help if you have that information documented somewhere that we can use as reference. So therefore, all of your medical conditions, so if you have diabetes, if you have hypertension, please write that down. Look at the boxes or the containers that your medications have come in and write off the names of your medications and how you're supposed to take it, so that, as I said, if something were to happen, we have that information to hand. Because if you don't have that information to hand, the doctors don't know where to start in terms of how to treat you and bring you back to a point of better health. And remember, the show is called For the Health of It, because it is literally hinging on you actively participating in your own care. So, Mrs. Hines, is that how you wish for me to answer?
The Latin part of
that's
it.
That's good. Thank you very much.
Yes. It's always good to have that information to hand. So, Mrs. Hines, I know you had said this early in the show, but I want to make this point again, perhaps for maybe our listeners who have tuned in a little bit later, and also to emphasize this point as well. I know that we've had some bad weather over the last 24 to 36 hours, and I know that when that happens, it's usually indicative that there's a system in our area, and we are still very much in hurricane season. What do we want to advise persons to do with regards to their medications?
Like I would have said, we have something called grace period that we would normally give patients 7 days grace period within which to refill their medication. With the hurricane season, we extend that grace period even more. Once you come and you tell us that is what you're doing, we would allow you to refill your medication, so that, you know, you can have supplies at any time. And like I said, it will be nice to just come prepared just as part of your hurricane preparation, and not to wait until there's a system coming to then say that, you know, you're coming now to, you know, stock up on your medications. Just be prepared and make sure that you have your medications at all times, that if anything happens, you have to last you a week, 2 weeks at least, you know, so do not hesitate to come. And I don't want to say, if you have any problem, call me, because I don't think you should have any problem, because I am sure that our pharmacies, they are they are very much aware of it, and they will try as much as they can to, you know, facilitate you with regards to that. And just to add a little bit, Trudy, before we leave the recall, persons would have been hearing about the NDMA, that's N-nitrosodimethylamine contaminations with many products. It has been associated with about 5 or 6 different drugs already. And recently it was associated with metformin. Now, this is a chemical substance that forms even in water. But it's just that when the level is too high, it can be carcinogenic, which means it can cause cancer. So therefore, you will see recalls being made because of the levels being higher than normal. But I just wanted to say that persons should not be alarmed, because this is something that exists and it can form easily, even in water. So when you do hear that, you know, this is the what the problem is, find out first from us. We would be able to tell you if, in fact, any of the products were affected by that, or if not. So far, I can say we thank God all the reports that has happened with regards to this particular substance, it has not affected any of our drugs in our market. First of all, the raw materials of most of the ones that started were from China. And most of our raw materials would have been coming from India, even though India does get some of its raw materials from China. But so far, we've been lucky that none of those would have affected the products on our market. There was one incident where one product that we would have awarded a contract to bring the medicine into the market, they were not able to establish supply. And before they could establish supply, they were one of those that would have been affected. So it didn't affect us in the end, because even though they were awarded a contract to bring the drug, they never brought it into the market, and they were able to just not to bother to bring it into the market.
Okay, thank you so much for making that point. So it's really quite important for our listeners to stay tuned to credible channels of information to make sure that you're not being misled with regards to the medications that you may be taking. Ken, I know you're looking at me because you want to give me a very big hint that our time is almost up.
No, I want to press the button or pull the plug.
Oh, whatever. So Mrs. Hines, thank you so very much for joining us this evening and having this very wide-ranging conversation as it relates to accessing medications under the formulary, whether you are receiving care in the public or the private sector. So thank you so much for joining us. For persons who wish to contact the Diabetes Association of Barbados, you can do so via telephone. Our numbers are 423 or 427-9338. You can also call us via your mobile phone, and that number is 230-2975. If you wish to email us, dab40a@gmail.com. Visit us on our website at www.diabetes.bb. You can also find us on Facebook or Instagram, and give us some feedback about what we're doing, the topics that we are presenting to you, anything that you wish to share with us, anything that you wish for us to highlight. We certainly welcome you contacting us. So Ken, thank you so much for hosting us this evening, and we look
Let us wish Jason well, please.
Oh, certainly. We have missed Jason tremendously this evening.
He's under the weather.
I know Jason would never have worn a shirt like that on the show.
Your conduct. So. What's your conduct, Judy? What's your blinking conduct?
So, Jason, we give you our very best regards for a full recovery. I know that this is not your speed, not to be part of this show, but certainly we miss you. And we send you our regards. So Ken, thank you so very much. And we are here again next week to live and love for the health of it.